You are listening to local and regional news produced by KMUN with help from our news partners. I'm Skylar Butenchin. It's Wednesday, September 10th. We'll hear first today from KMUN news volunteer Sylvia Thorpe.
Oregon and Umatilla tribal leaders are embarking on a partnership that could restore habitat in part of the Blue Mountains. They're purchasing about 12,000 acres of private land to co-manage as a wildlife area. It's currently owned by the estate of Harry Merlot, a longtime timber businessman and philanthropist. State wildlife biologist John Poshtian says state and tribal officials hope to continue Merlot's land management legacy.
Harry had a vision that really incorporated working lands with fish and wildlife values, and he did an absolutely incredible job of managing that landscape.
Once the purchase is complete, the land will be called the Kop Kapa Wildlife Area, after tribe's traditional fishing spot.
Oregon Governor Tina Kotek issued an executive order on Monday to try and make future state buildings more earthquake-ready. Lauren Dake reports.
The governor's order calls for new state buildings larger than 10,000 square feet to be built in a way to withstand damages from the Cascadia Subduction Zone earthquake. The order also says all existing state buildings in Oregon should be seismically upgraded by 2060. The goal of focusing on state buildings, the governor's press release says, is so that there's an area to serve as shelter for people after the earthquake tears through the region. It's unclear how many buildings her executive order will ultimately cover or how the additional mandate would be paid for. The Cascadia Subduction Zone earthquake is expected to devastate the Pacific Northwest. I'm Lauren Dake reporting.
The Washington State Department of Health has issued a standing order for the COVID-19 vaccine. The order will allow most Washington residents to go directly to a pharmacy or clinic and receive the COVID-19 vaccine without an individual prescription. Just last week, Washington, Oregon, and California formed the West Coast Health Alliance. The alliance is a direct response to concerns that recent federal actions have undermined the independence of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and politicized the use of science in ways that will harm public health. Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. only recommended the recently updated COVID-19 vaccine to those over 65 and people with existing health problems. The Washington Department of Health has reaffirmed its guidance that everyone 6 months and older, including pregnant people, should stay up to date on COVID-19 vaccinations to protect against severe illness, hospitalization, and death. In Washington, COVID-19 vaccines remain covered by most private insurers, Apple Health, and the state's adult vaccine and childhood vaccine programs. Last month, Pacific County officials were given a report regarding the in-custody death of Crystal Greenler more than 2 years ago at the Pacific County Jail. The report was conducted by Lieutenant Kenneth Clark from the Thurston County Sheriff's Office. Clark evaluated numerous Pacific County Sheriff's Office policies that may have played a role in Greenler's death. Clark's report stated that there was no record that the Pacific County Jail had an emergency response plan or that the staff, volunteers, and contractors had such a plan available. In reviewing the jail's safety check policy, Clark's report stated that safety checks were not conducted every 60 minutes throughout the 24 hours surrounding the incident. Clark recommended in the report that the Pacific County Sheriff's Office conduct a comprehensive evaluation of its policy manual. These stories come to us through a news partnership with the Chinook Observer, online at chinookobserver.com. One of the many mobile home parks ravaged by the 2020 Alameda Fire was Royal Oaks Mobile Manor in Phoenix, Oregon. It's taken almost 5 years for people to move back. Jefferson Public Radio's Jane Vaughn reports on that progress.
Mary Martin lived in her home in Royal Oaks for over 7 years.
Well, first of all, it was old, but it was mine, and I just loved it.
She had a big east-facing window.
I'm not much of a sleeper, so I could watch. I could sit right on my couch and watch the sun come up in the morning.
She loved the location of Royal Oaks, right near a bus stop in Phoenix. And as an older disabled woman on a fixed income, she loved having security, community, and her own home.
I have my two little pets were buried in the backyard. And I put them there because I thought, well, I'll never be leaving. I'll die here, you know, so I could be close.
Then the Almeda fire, September 8th, 2020. Mary says she had no idea what was going on, didn't have any warning. The only reason she evacuated was because a sheriff's deputy yelled, "Get in your car and leave."
And as soon as I made that turn and looked in my mirror, I saw it. I saw a monster. It was bad. Just a big black billowing smoke, and I saw it. I said, "Oh my God."
She left a lot behind. Her medications, her phone charger. The biggest loss, though, was her black cat, Cambria.
And that's all I could picture was her under the bed. That freaking fire. How scared she must have been.
The wildfire destroyed around 2,500 homes, most of them manufactured. Many of the people displaced were older or Spanish speakers.
And I was so mad that we didn't have any warning. Because it wasn't just me. It was Ashland, Talent, Phoenix.
It took almost 5 years for Royal Oaks to be rebuilt. In 2021, Oregon bought modular homes rather than relying on conventional construction. State Representative Pam Marsh was really excited about it.
Had that bet paid off, we would have had housing on the ground well before any of the other housing that materialized later on.
But that bet didn't pay off. The state didn't have a place to put the homes, and it took some time to find a site. 2 years later, as families were preparing to move in, inspectors found mold, leaking water, and other code issues. Officials have said the problem was the construction, not the fact that the homes were sitting.
I don't even try to speak to what went wrong, because I can't figure it out. I don't know if we should have sent Oregon people up there to watch the construction.
The state is suing the manufacturer and the broker for breach of contract and negligence. But none of this helps fire survivors, some of whom are still to this day living in hotels and other transitional housing.
I don't think it's unusual. I think it's unacceptable.
At first, the state promised to rebuild the defective homes. Then, 7 months later, they said they'd just replace them. Oregon eventually spent $17 million on 118 new homes. Now, finally, the first wave of homes has been placed on site and residents have started moving in. 5 years later, the day-to-day work of finding permanent housing for fire survivors continues. Denise Lupton at Access is one of the people doing this work. She says a lot of this process has been out of her control.
I don't know what the holdup was or why there was delay. That part's tough. I feel like had it gone as smooth as we had anticipated it would, we would be in a different place today.
Walking around Royal Oaks now, a man waters a tree in front of his new home. People are living in some of them, and some are still empty. Mary Martin is one of the ones who decided not to return to Royal Oaks, where she had planned to live out her golden years. After the fire, she moved from friends' homes to a FEMA trailer to an apartment. Earlier this year, she got a state grant and purchased her own manufactured home.
I have a new spot. I still miss my old spot a lot. I wish it could have been the same, but yeah, it's just new. I don't like new.
She's still adjusting, but she has two cats to keep her company and the ashes of her black cat, Cambria. And like at Royal Oaks, her new home has big windows so she can look out at the hills. I'm Jane Vaughn reporting.
You're listening to news from KMUN. To hear us on the air and catch national news from NPR, tune in to 91.9 FM. Morning news begins at 7:59 every weekday. And of course, you will always be able to find today's local and regional news here at KMUN.org. To contact the KMUN News Department, email us at news1@KMUN.org. That's news, the numeral 1, at KMUN.org.